I'll invite us to pray together the prayer of illumination found in your bulletin or on the screens. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So I'll invite those of you who are able to stand in honor of the gospel reading. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the last chapter, 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When the disciples saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, as we enter into this time of reflecting on this passage and on the Great Commission received by the disciples, we pray that your words would fall afresh upon us, that we would be attuned to what it is that you are calling us to do this very day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The other evening, I was talking with my younger daughter, Kelsey. Many of you know her and appreciate her unique personality. She often says what many of us are thinking but wouldn't actually say out loud, and she says it loudly so that you can't miss it. Kelsey loves to learn and study things. She has studied the U.S. presidents and, upon request, can tell you which president was which number. So if you say 16, she could say Abraham Lincoln. Now, that's my example because that's the only president that I know. She also recently has been studying Disney movies, the animated ones, and can tell you which year they were released. So she knows that Pinocchio was released in... That's really close. I'm impressed. 1940. Yeah. So next time you see her, give her a shout out. So she got a diary, she got a notebook for Easter in her Easter basket. And this, she was sitting right by that door, and this is what she wrote. "Dear diary, I'm at church. I just want to go home. Worship is forever. I am upset. When will Jesus help me? I thought he was strong. I'm so tired." So... that, in a nutshell, is Kelsey. But seriously, who's felt this way in church? Like, is this service going to end? Yeah. So we were talking the other day. So my husband is Catholic, and she's trying to understand, you know, all the options available to her. She was saying she doesn't want to go to church. Church is boring. So if I had a nickel for any time a child has said, "I don't want to go to church, it's boring," I asked her what she meant, and she said, "All we ever talk about is Jesus." I wasn't sure what to do about this. She asked, "Aren't there other people in the Bible we can learn about?" She was not impressed that when I led Children's Church last week, we talked about Philip and the Ethiopian. I reminded her that Vacation Bible School is coming up, and usually we learn stories besides just Jesus' life and ministry. It was boring. I said, "You know, the Bible has a lot of stories about other people. We could read them together." "Right now?" So this was about 9:30 at night. And so as a good mom, I said, "No, I'm not going to read the Bible with you right now, but I'll read it with you in the morning." So she got up, she went and did something in her room. Come to find out, she had picked out her outfit for the morning, which I didn't know she could do that. She set it out. She got her backpack. The next morning at 6 a.m., she was up, she got dressed, she went downstairs, she poured herself a bowl of cereal, which again, she never eats cereal. She came up at about 7 a.m. with her children's Bible, and she said, "Are you ready?" So, yeah, I said, "Let's do it." The enthusiasm for learning, to be with God in the reading of Scripture. How many of us are this eager to get up and prepare everything else so that we can sit down and read the Bible too? Now, if we're honest, how many of us are glad to be continuing in the season of Easter in a series of stories where Christ is seen after the resurrection, the Christ seen investigation? For those of us who've been in the church for a while, these stories are fairly familiar to us. Now, I'll say I went to look at CSI, the intro. I was curious about the intro clip, and it's a little graphic and gory. But I remember Summers watching Murder, She Wrote. And what's her name? Right, Jessica Fletcher. Murder, She Wrote. It was Murder, She Wrote, and then Matlock. So every day I was watching that. The thing that I loved about it, though, is she'd give this little, and you knew she had just figured out who the real perpetrator was. Now, they didn't tell you who it was. They didn't show you the scene. You get to the end of it, and it's like, well, if I had seen that person, I would have known they were the one. They slipped away during dinner. They don't show you that at the beginning, because then why would you watch the rest of the show? How many of us are into true crime? Yeah, it's interesting. So if you can get past the gruesome events, the innocence of the victims, it's mentally engaging to follow a story, a true story, to uncover what happened, to prove that a crime was committed and that the accused is guilty. This series, Christ Scene Investigation, we are witness to the actual first days of Jesus' appearance to the women at the tomb, to the disciples, from his walking through locked doors to appearing on the seashore. Anyone here on social media? No, we just talked about that a little bit. Does anyone use their phone as a phone? That kind of blew my mind. I hate when people call me on the phone. There's some wild stuff on social media. And with artificial intelligence, it's harder to know what's actually true. You know, it'll say AI generated, and you're like, oh, well, I'm not going to watch that. But in the year of our Lord, 2026, I know if a man was crucified, died, and was buried, and then on the third day, people saw the guy walking around, that would be trending news everywhere, right? So I wonder if we could lean into this story today and for a moment suspend the fact that this may be one of the most familiar passages to us. It is, in fact, the mission statement of the United Methodist Church, to go and make disciples, yada, yada. It's actually kind of a wild story itself. So if you go to the beginning of Matthew 28, we find ourselves early in the morning of Easter. The women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, are going to look at the tomb, is what Scripture says. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. It says, for fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. So we've got the guards that are laying on the ground pretending or actually dead from shock. And these women are mystified. And the angel speaks to them and says, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. The angel gives a message to the women. He says, continuing, there you will see him in Galilee. This is my message for you. So the women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus meets them. He says, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Now the 11 disciples, we say 11 because Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, had taken his life. He was no longer a part of this community. So the 11 disciples are on their way to see Jesus. Because of the women who heard from the angel and they heard from Jesus himself who said, "I will be in Galilee." So I was curious, Jerusalem and Galilee are not close to one another. So to drive by car, you have to kind of loop around. It takes about 2 hours or so to get there. So to hike straight up would be about 30 hours. So if you were to hike about 10 hours a day, it would take 3 days to get there. Walking 3 days on account of the testimony of these women who say they saw Jesus, who previously was behind a large rock wrapped in linen cloths. That's a committed response. Not only are they to go to Galilee, verse 16 reads, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. So they need to hike 3 10-hour days and then go up a mountain. That's pretty precarious looking to me. So according to hikingtheholyland.com, it takes about 90 minutes to get to the top of Mount Arbel, which is the likely mountain referenced in the Great Commission. Now, why did Jesus ask the disciples to meet him on a mountain? The term mountain is an important one for Matthew's account, for the reader associates the mountain as a place of teaching. Matthew describes Jesus as, quote, the one greater than Moses. Jesus could have said, meet me in the field at the base of the mountain, but to ask the disciples to find him atop a mountain clues us in that Jesus is about to give important instructions. Mountains in Matthew's gospel are places where Jesus' authoritative teaching and divine identity are revealed. So if we go to Matthew 4, it's where the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. This after he fasted for 40 days, he was tempted. He was also on a mountain. When he saw crowds, he went to a very high mountain and he sat down, and the disciples came to him, and he taught these crowds. He was on a mountain with the feeding of the 4,000. And there he also cured the lame and the mute. And on the mountain of the Transfiguration, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up by a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. So if you recall, we were together on Transfiguration Sunday not that long ago. It was at the beginning of the Lenten season, and we were atop this mountain looking down towards Good Friday. And so it is from this moment of commissioning upon the mountain by the side of the Sea of Galilee, we hear Jesus say, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Mount Arbel is one of the tallest peaks surrounding the Sea of Galilee in northern Israel. Standing on top of Arbel, you can see for miles. So if you were there today and you looked to the west, you can barely make out 2 tall towers of a major electrical plant that sits on the coastal plain next to the ancient city of Caesarea Maritima, which is the ancient port city constructed by King Herod, where the Apostle Paul set sail to Rome, carrying the gospel with him to the west. Tying nicely with Miss Kathy's message about sending letters, we know Paul wrote a few letters in his day. So this mountain was significant to Jesus. First, the mountain stands along the well-traveled route between Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee, called the Valley of Doves. Since Jesus lived in Nazareth most of his growing up years, he must have traveled this way many times. Second, it is the tallest mountain in Galilee. When Jesus directed the disciples to go to the mountain, they knew which one he was referring to. So imagine we are standing there. The wind is blowing in your face as you lean against the galvanized pipe safety rail fixed along the ridge of the steep precipice. Imagine your feet standing on the exact mountain where the disciples stood. Imagine hearing Jesus' words cut through the air. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus was calling these disciples to be apostles. A disciple in the Greek means a learner, a follower of Jesus. If we believe in Jesus and follow Jesus' teachings, we are a disciple, a believer, a Christian. An apostle, however, literally means one who is sent, someone who is sent on a mission. A boy who is sent by his father, go and get a card for your mother for Mother's Day. You can picture, okay, got it. A friend who is told, can you go get me those chips, not the baked ones, the fried, and not the cheese, I want the cheese and the sour cream and onion ones, but not the generic brand. So they've got a specific mission in mind. Apostles are given authority to go and serve. Every apostle is a disciple, but not every disciple is an apostle. Why? Because the one requires action, a willingness to be sent, to respond to the commissioning. So are we being commissioned today to be apostles in the true sense of the word? No. But we are being called by Jesus in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit to be more than just ones who read about Jesus. We are called to share our own testimony with others. This is who Jesus is to me. We're called to be the church to go forth and serve others. So there are some in this congregation that are set apart for specific tasks in leading this church. And if you've been here for a while, you know that these individuals often come forward and they stand up here and we pray for them. Why? Because they are saying yes to a holy commissioning, to go on a mission trip with youth, to serve on the admin council and make certain decisions about the church, to serve as a delegate to annual conference on behalf of this church with all churches in the North Carolina annual conference. For today, you and I are called to be a part of the ministry of Jesus. Just as over 2,000 years ago, the first people to witness the resurrected body in person, we are told, go, just as I received authority, so also do you have authority to make disciples. To those who've never heard this story ever before, we are the ones who can bring this message to those in need of good news. Do we know people who are in need of good news today? Is it easy? No. Going up a mountain is synonymous with hard work, with determination, with preparation, with perseverance. much the same as going down the mountain to be with those who haven't heard of Jesus. So while Matlock, or Jessica Fletcher, can resolve a mystery in 60 minutes, including commercials, our story never ends. We will continue to uncover and experience the holy mystery of God's matchless love for us. All that we need to do is respond to this call to go. Let us pray. God, it is in your strength, in your power, in the encouragement and advocacy of the Holy Spirit that we are equipped and enabled to be light in places of darkness, to be hope in places of despair, to simply be. Give us courage, Lord, to respond to this call today. Give us eyes to see those who may be in need of a simple touch, a simple word of encouragement, a letter, a text. Thank you, God, for calling us to this holy purpose. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.